Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Man, we got a good show for you today. Trish McAnulty is here, and she's got a great grip on how to get yourself turned around when you come out of incarceration, how to get yourself on your feet. And we're going to talk to Trish right after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Well, how's your summer going? Let me know, okay? MathersRodney at yahoo.com, MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Trish McAnulty. She's here today to talk about her book, The Pink House. Now, Trish has got a pretty good grip on what prison is all about. So welcome, Trish. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rodney?
Doing super today. Can we start off by getting your background? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am, these days, I'm a college professor, and I have a grown daughter. And I've got a dog, and I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. But in the 1970s, I was addicted to drugs, and I wound up, as many drug addicts do, especially in that time, I wound up in prison for, boyfriend and I robbed a drugstore. And they don't like that in Florida.
No, so, it's pretty universal.
I wound up, I did about 17 months in a women's prison. Some of that was in a work release, and a few months at the beginning was in jail. And
now,
when
was
I got
it,
out,
Trish, was it in, in like a county jail setting, or did you actually go to a women's unit?
I went to the women's state prison.
Okay, gotcha.
So, which was actually a relief, because if you were in the jail, then you were just sort of stuck in that one little cell.
Yeah.
And so everybody sort of hoped not to get county time. You wanted to get state time, because at least you could move around.
Well, nothing's changed.
Right.
Okay. So you went to prison. Now let's move on to, you talk about using your prison experience, and I'm just curious what role that played in the writing of this book. How did that affect that?
Well, what's interesting is I got out of prison in like 1981, and I kind of went on with my life, and I determined I just wasn't going to look back, right? I was just going to put the past behind me. So I went to college, I got a bachelor's degree, and then I worked for a while and went back to college. And in the 1990s, I was pursuing a doctorate degree at Florida State University when a woman approached me and asked if I would help run a program for women prisoners.
Wow.
An arts program. And she didn't know my background.
Really?
But someone had suggested, no, she didn't, but someone had suggested that she should ask me about the about, you know, creating this program. And so I said, well, I'd love to help you, but, you know, there may be a problem with me going in there.
Yeah.
And I told her, you know, my story, and she said, no, I think that that actually makes you an even better person to come and do this work. So in the mid-1990s, I was involved in a program where we went into the women's prison and we taught poetry. We did some artwork, and then we had a drama program, which was just phenomenal. And what I found was that the artists in the community were so eager to help out. They, I think artists have a special relationship with people in prison. They feel like they're outsiders too. So I had a lot of support from the arts community. And The Pink House, the novel, is actually based on my experiences going in and teaching the women. But it's also, two of the characters are in the prison currently during this program. And they, so of course, I used my knowledge of what prison life was like to write their stories.
Right. Verisimilitude. A word I've learned recently. It means to make things realistic when you write. And you certainly had the background for that.
Well, people do tend to feel that this story is very authentic. That's what, that's one of the remarks I always get, is it, that it feels like an authentic story, even though, you know, prison, of course, is very different now than it was at that time.
I don't know. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say that. And I did my time in the O's, but I don't know. It seems like it would just suck either way, you know? I think they're probably a little bit more tuned into, you know, feeding people now and stuff. But anyway, okay. So, yeah.
Well, one thing is that when I was in there, they were open to bringing programs in. And I know that they do still bring programs in, but it kind of felt a little bit less punitive when I was in there than when I went in to give my arts program.
Yeah, okay.
They were a little tighter. But you're right. The experience, though, the experience of being deprived of your loved ones, you know, of that day-to-day contact with your loved ones, being deprived of your choice of what you're going to do, what you're going to do when you get up, what you're going to eat. You know, all of those choices that are taken from you. And then also, you know, I'm not going to say this about all of the corrections personnel, but, you know, some of them really treat you like you're dirt.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are dirt.
And
let me just, let's just say it like it is, you know.
Yeah.
The roles are reversed. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Okay. But having said that, I guess I need to also say that, now this was a very small minority, but I did find, corrections officers that actually cared about people. You know, there weren't very many though. And I'm sure you did too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I found some that were really there because they did care about people and they wanted to help, and they were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there were
few and far between, though, right?
You know, for the most part, I just ignored them. Either there were some that were either really kind or just awful, and then there were a bunch that were just sort of in the middle that I have no memory of whatsoever.
Well, relevant to what, you know, you're on the show for today, we can definitely say from our chat so far that you've got a good grip on what that experience is like. And I think that that's going to be important for people listening that want to read your book. And it's obvious that you've got a good grip on that. I want to ask you something just a little bit different now. And I don't mean to catch you off guard here, but Trish, there are a lot of people that talk to me about their prison experience and say they want to write a book. And I'm just curious, can you tell us a little bit about the process of how you got it published, what your routine was for writing, how did you go about actually, you know, putting pen to paper? How did that process work? Could you shed some light on that for us?
I would love to, and actually that's a great question. First of all, I will say I got a lot of training. When I got out of prison, the first thing I did was go to college and take creative writing classes. And then I got out and I was just practicing my writing, and I was writing poetry. I wrote journalism, anything I could write. Then I went back and I got a master's degree to learn more and work more with writers. Now, and then I went and got a doctorate, but that was because at that point I had a kid and I was like, okay, I've got to figure out a way I can make a decent living and still be around for my child. that being said, you don't have to go to 6 years of college or whatever it is. There are lots of writing retreats. There are writers' conferences. One of the best ones, I think, is the Sun Magazine, which specializes in people telling their personal stories. Mm-hmm. And they usually have a writer's retreat / conference a couple times a year. One of them is out in California, and one of them is in North Carolina. So I highly recommend working with people who are in the field, who have done what you want to do. It's kind of hard just to do it on your own, just to say, okay, I'm just going to sit down and write my book and mm-hmm. hope something happens with it. But if you are going out and you're talking to other people who are trying to do the same thing, I think it's really useful. And it's also, you know, less expensive than, you know, trying to go get an MFA somewhere. But mm-hmm. if you can, you know, if you have the time and the funds to go to college for writing, then I think that's also a way to do it.
Did it take you to write the book?
Okay, that's a really tough question, because what happened was I wrote a book, which was my dissertation. I wrote this novel about four women in prison, and
is your PhD in English or
creative writing?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So I was allowed to actually write a novel for my dissertation.
Right. How cool. Okay.
Yeah. So I had written this book, and honestly, I didn't even try to get it published. But I didn't think I could. I knew I wasn't ready. So then I wrote another book, which was called Sweetbriar, which I'm currently rewriting and will come out in 2017 as The Hummingbird Kiss, uh-huh. which is, I'm rewriting it as a memoir about my years of addiction.
Uh-huh.
And that took years to write.
Right.
You know, I would write in fits and starts. The Pink House actually did not take very long. For one thing, I had already written a book, and so I kind of knew how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that one of the main characters in the book, Lolly, mm-hmm. is based on one of my dearest friends, Kitty Gretsch, who died in 2001. She was 33 years old, and she died of breast cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was so moved by her death. She was such a beautiful, warm, loving person that this book kind of came out as a tribute to her.
Mm-hmm.
So because I had been writing about the prison experience, and I'd already written my autobiographical novel, since I'd already done those, this book came pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
I originally wrote it as a novel called From May to December, and it was published in the UK
mm-hmm.
several years ago. And I thought, and then I was talking to a publisher here in the United States, and I thought, you know what, it's really time to bring that book out here in the United States, where it was set and where we have so many, I don't have to tell you that we have, you know, over 600 people for every 100,000 people in the U.S. are locked up.
Right.
I mean, the numbers are staggering. We have more
That's
people
amazing.
In prison than any other country.
That's right.
Which you and your listeners know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought this was the time to bring this book out.
Okay. And another question about the writing process. Did you find that when you were writing about your prison experience, was it routine as you sat down each day and you wrote, or was it more cathartic? Did you find that it was like enjoyable to write about that time, or was it difficult?
I think for the most part it was enjoyable, and I think that's mainly because they were fictional characters, so I could do things with them that maybe, you know, sometimes when I'm writing strictly about myself, there is times that can be kind of painful.
Uh-huh.
But this novel, I really loved the characters. I knew the characters. I knew these women. And it was enjoyable. I do, when I'm working on a project, I do try to write a few hours every day.
Right.
But there are times when I'm not on a project and I'm busy and, you know, life is going on. So right. I'm not going to say I'm one of those people that, oh, I get up every single day at 5 a.m. and I write for 4 hours. You know, I'm not that person. I have to have a project and I have to have an end goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I'll write
as much as I can.
Do you set a date that you want to finish by?
Yes, I usually do. And I don't always make that date.
Yeah.
But I just having it in my head kind of gives me that impetus to get up and then, okay. And a lot of times, you know, you'll start off writing and you're not into it at all and you're just bored. And then, but then something catches you, some storyline. And before you know it, you've got, you know, 10 pages written and you're just like, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I've done a little bit.
Yes,
and I can totally relate to that. I've done a little bit of writing myself, and I've tried to write about my experience. And I guess I'm about 3/4 of the way through. But I got to tell you that there are some things that I, you know, that happened, or whether it be during prison or after or just prior. Man, I just don't like going there. I mean, you know, and I start it starts bringing up those emotions and that feeling, and sometimes that'll turn me off so much that it'll be weeks before I pick it back up again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, and I've had other people tell me the same thing. And what were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
It's kind of like you're digging into the dirt, like you're digging in, and
exactly,
and some of
it's
not pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what helps me is to be completely honest. It's like, okay, you know, maybe I'm not the nicest person in the world. Maybe I had some, you know, bad thoughts, or I did some stuff that, you know, is not really anything to be proud of. But I'm going to just let you know about it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Trish, what I like about what you've done is your experience, but, you know, with the verisimilitude that I talked about, but with fictional characters, and I'm sure they're based on people that you knew, but I like that idea. I think that the idea of putting that experience into a novel is just wonderful, and I'm sure this book is excellent. I haven't read it, but could you just real quickly, I don't know if you can do this quickly, but could you give us just kind of a general cursory overview of the storyline in the novel?
Sure. I'd love to do that. So we have 4 characters that we follow. One of them is Jen Johansson, and she is a former porn actress, and she's trying to put her past behind her. She's working as an adjunct professor at a university. Her sister, Lolly Johansson, is a cancer survivor, and Lolly is sort of the person who brings Jen into this world of the women in prison. Lolly is the one who, because she's a cancer survivor, she's also an amputee, she just identifies and cares so much about these women who are locked up. And she goes in there and she does these programs with them. She convinces her sister to come in and help her. And her sister is, you know, she's a party girl, and she thinks her do-gooder sister is a complete pain. But she goes along with it because she wants to make a little bit of money, and she gets in there and she gets to know these women, and they call her out on her BS. And she learns a lot and grows from that. Then the 2 characters who are actually in prison, one of them is Nicole Parks. She's a young African-American woman who got into prison because she trusted the wrong guy. And we know so many women like that, who they happened to be in the house when the house got raided and there were guns and weed or whatever there. And the woman goes to prison even if it's not her stuff. So that's Nicole Parks' story. And Nicole Parks is kind of, the chapters are interspersed with her journal entries. And then there's one final character, main character named Sonia, who is a traveling criminal. She's from one of those families that they go around and they con people out of their money. And she's a mother. And so I wanted to represent all of those women who are in prison and who are mothers and who are just aching desperately to be with their young child.
Oh, that's kind of tough. These characters sound so rich and interesting, and wow. This really sounds like a good book, Trish. My listeners reading this book, what are they going to take away from it?
I think that they are going to see, number one, the importance of the arts as a way to heal those old wounds. All of these women use the drama program, or they use writing as a way to examine their lives and look at what they've done wrong and look at what they've done right and kind of grow and learn how to love themselves again. Cool. So I think that's the number one thing. And the other thing is just compassion for other people and compassion for yourself. Like, yeah, maybe you screwed up, but you know what? That doesn't make you any less of a person. That doesn't make you less valuable or less worthy. And I think that that's the other thing that they can take away from this book.
This sounds like a fun read. Trish McAnulty, the book is called The Pink House. Trish, how do we get the book, by the way?
Well, it's on Amazon. Okay. And let me make a little plug. I have a book that I self-published that is also on Amazon, and it's called A Heart Cracked Open, Writing and Recovery. So any of your listeners are interested, it's just something I put out there as kind of a book to help people who want to use writing in the way that you're talking about.
Yes, so I advocate that. I think it's an excellent idea.
Right. So it's got little lessons and little examples of, okay, this is how you know, or little prompts. Okay, write about.
Super.
Write a love letter to yourself. Those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think that's
good. That book is also on Amazon.
Excellent. Okay, Trish McAnulty, The Pink House. I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today, Trish. Very interesting story. And before I let you go, I want to congratulate you on the way that you took your life and turned it around. You jumped over the adversity and you made something of yourself. And congratulations to you, Trish.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rodney. Congratulations to you, too.
Thank you. And we're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey. Got an idea for a guest? Got an idea for a topic? Sure would love to know about it, and I'll get it on for you. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's where you can catch me, MathersRodney @yahoo.com. I want to thank my special guest today, Trish McAnulty, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.